Hey, what's up, guys? You are listening to the Edge and Flow podcast. This is Lucas Burnley. I'm here with my co-host TJ Schwartz. On this podcast, we discuss life, knife making, small manufacturing, hobbies, kind of everything that is in our sphere right now. The industry as a whole has been like a kind of an ongoing topic. Yeah, how's it going, TJ?
Going real well. We were just talking
Nice.
about we're in an inversion here in the valley, so sight distance about 20 yards. Everything's frozen for the last 2 weeks, so it's a little spooky and a little bit cool for a while, but then it gets old. But
Looks like Silent
we'll,
Hill.
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
We'll
It's funny.
survive,
I
but
always wonder if we're getting the same weather because we just had like a 3 day cycle of that. It ended. You're having, I don't know if it's like moving
yeah,
across, but
we're not very far away. Yeah,
yeah.
that's blown right in.
It is. Hey, just out of the gate, I want to thank our members on Patreon. Appreciate you guys. This has been a year, a lot of growth, a lot of changes, and we're going to kind of start there, right? Like we're coming into the end of the year. You and I actually haven't talked in, I think, 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, missed a couple.
Yeah, holidays and busy shop schedules. Let's do some shop updates, man. You got the X9.
Yeah, I did. Did we have any episodes where it had been delivered? I think we had
No.
one.
No,
We
I think,
we
or
didn't.
maybe it was like, no, I don't
Yeah.
think it's ever been on the floor.
Okay. Well, yeah, we got it delivered, went super smooth, wired it up. That went smooth. No surprises so far. There's one, so I'll save that for the end, but
Ooh.
we have the got the machine running. The probably the X7 when it landed exceeded expectations, but I almost had no expectations because I'd never seen one before. I had no idea. I just had kind of a hunch that it was going to be pretty nice. The X9, I had pretty high expectations for it, and it even blew those out of the water as far as the quality of the machine. Because I leveled it and trammed the spindle just to check, which, throw an indicator in and inscribe a circle with a tense indicator. The perpendicularity of the spindle to the table is off the charts. I mean, it's stupidly tight. On like a 16-inch circle, which is a really
You
big.
said microns, right? Like
Yeah.
you're.
So on a tense indicator, it does not show any reading of movement
Yeah.
that is perceivable across
Yeah.
16 inches. And so I wanted
That's
to,
off the truck after
yeah.
being
And
shipped on a
leveled
you
by
know.
me, who I've never leveled a machine
Right.
before,
Wow.
because the X7 has 3 feet. And so you can't, it doesn't, it's agnostic to leveling, because if you have 3 feet,
Right.
you can't induce twist in a 3 foot machine because it doesn't care. It's like a tripod. Whereas this machine has six. So not only are you quote unquote leveling it, but you have the opportunity to induce twist and like
Right.
flex because you have extra feet. And so what I found is the casting is so stiff that you can't induce twist even if you want to. So it has 6 feet. But the night
It's
before I
just like
left,
accounting for your floor.
yeah,
That's
exactly. Because I looked up how to level a 6 foot machine, because pretty much all Haas machines have the same design with the 6 feet. And so I just went on like Practical Machinist forums. I was like, how do you level an old Haas or whatever, just to get like an idea and
Right.
make sure I knew what I was going on. And they were talking about taking out twist and checking the spindle. And what I noticed was, it like obviously if you start jacking up a foot to like to lengthen it or whatever, the machine will go on to 3 feet really quickly.
Sure.
And so I was curious, and I had it basically teetering on the jack and the two back feet. So it's only on 3 feet out of six. And even then, it doesn't twist. You can still check, and there's the table still perpendicular. So it was like the good news about that
Wow.
is all I had to do is basically make sure it was level and all the feet were touching the ground with good force. The only bad news is if it wasn't square,
Oh,
in a
yeah,
Haas,
interesting.
you can crank certain feet in a certain
Yeah.
way to induce a correction on the shape, like you can make it bend.
Right.
Whereas this thing is, it's not going to bend. There's nothing you can do. So the fact that it is that
That's
square.
super interesting. Does that pose a potential problem like down the line?
I don't know. And so it's interesting. I'm really happy they had it dialed in perfect. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that's
'Cause
great.
it made it super easy. I mean, we'll just keep an eye on it. But like, for example, I wanted to know, okay, 16-inch circle, way less than a tenth, you know, like a tenth of a
Yeah.
tenth. I wanted to know, like, okay, what's normal? So I just looked up like the Haas factory specs, because when a Haas machine gets delivered, they have a tech install it.
Right.
And so not only how the machine's built, but they're going to use those feet to bring it within a certain range. And it's like they have a specified range that is like the tech is to get it within this range. And what they quote is on a 10-inch circle, they want it within 5 tenths. And
Wow.
so this thing is on a 16-inch circle, about 1/50th of that. So if you include like the bigger radius, it's like
That's not,
one one hundredth or 1/200th of what is quoted as in spec. And I'm not knocking Haas at all for that, because
Totally.
5 tenths over 10 inches is very, very small.
Right. And especially like what we're doing, like you get knives are interesting because we have knowledge and skill sets from different industries. And the machine side, like knives in general, do not require
No, yeah.
insane tolerances.
No.
They just don't. But a lot of the knowledge in like CNC practices or machine practices comes from people that have a background in very tight tolerance machining.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
And where that tram really matters the most, in my opinion, is if you're using like a face mill on
Yeah.
like a large part, because
Yeah.
the more tram is out, the bigger the tool, the more it's exacerbated, because
Yeah.
you do a step over and you'll have a little shelf, because it's
Yeah.
like the tool's not putting a flat surface, it's putting a slight
Right.
angle. Whereas
Right.
I'm never gonna do that. So it, like, to
Yeah.
your point, like kind of is beyond what I really need it to be, but
Yeah,
it's
but it's
kind of cool
still
that it
cool.
is. So yeah, everything ran great on it. I mean, the machine is just so immaculate. It looks beautiful. I mean, the spindle casing, like the way that the coolant is routed, it's got three different coolant pumps that are, I mean, it's just gallons and gallons, crazy volume of coolant, way more than the X7. It's got like a built-in coolant ring on the spindle. I've filled the spindle chiller with oil, and so it's actively spindle chills. I'll come to the one thing that we had come up. So the through spindle coolant is a separate standalone unit that's not made by Sile, but
Okay.
they equip the machine to support through spindle with the right cartridge. And
Okay.
then they sell you with the package, because I added it, a third party pump system that's like an auxiliary tank with an auxiliary pump for
Got it.
that's high pressure. And it's powered by the machine itself. So they just put a plug on the machine. They
Right.
ship you the separate standalone pump. It works perfect for about 2 minutes, and then it pops the breaker in the machine. So I just went and looked at the breaker. It has a little bit of adjustment. It's like a has a little dial on the breaker,
Like a
and
pot.
I turned it up just a little bit, and it still pops. So I took pictures of all the wiring and like the plate on the motor with like the amp stuff. Sent it all to Sile. They've been super responsive, but basically, they get back to me immediately, but they just kept asking for more pictures. So that was like yesterday. So I'm waiting this morning.
So currently unsolved.
Currently unsolved. So this will be kind of an interesting test. It's the first time I've ever had to use their service. And a guy named Aaron from down in their Houston facility, I believe, is where he is. He's been on the phone with me, super helpful.
Awesome.
So I mean, they've been 100% responsive, but it'll be interesting to see how and when they decide to correct it. I'm not sure. It's a pretty simple problem. It's just a motor that's
Right.
overcurrenting a breaker. So it's up to them whether the motor's bad or the breaker is too
Right.
small. I don't know what, but
It's pretty interesting. So I haven't heard that name Aaron before, so just kind of following along your trajectory with Sile. The one thing that I've seen is that they seem incredibly responsive. Like in the Facebook group, like the CEO's like going in and like responding to questions, or engineers are going in responding to questions. It seems like they're really trying to be like provide support. And like this is something you and I have talked about a lot, which is like my main argument for Haas is actually the support, right? Like you can the Haas truck, it's like the ice cream man shows up at your shop, right? With all the parts on it. I had a weird, this is like a weird ADHD digression, but one thing I was thinking about for you is because you're in like a pretty, or you have Boise close, have you had like, have you found a CNC tech in Boise?
I haven't looked, but
You haven't looked.
I
So one
could
thought
try.
was actually to like find one that is well regarded. And I don't know how many Siles are in the valley. You probably have the only Siles.
I don't know of any other
Okay.
ones. Yeah.
Have him come by and just be like, hey, I just wanted, like, these machines are starting to get more popular. Can you take a look at them? Just so they're like in his brain
Yeah.
that you may need repair at some point. So that the first time you have a problem and you call him, there's like, I don't know. I just thought maybe it was a good way to like, one, meet a resource, two, provide him with like an asset for something coming
Yeah.
down the line.
No,
But,
that's valid. No, I agree. I think starting to network a little bit more
yeah.
is a good idea just for that kind of
Just
deal.
because, I mean, even something like this, like that could just be, I mean, obviously it's a new machine, you want it to work, but like it could be a CNC repairman. He could be like, see it and be like, oh yeah, this is this problem.
For
Okay.
sure.
That's okay. That makes sense. Do you know you have one of the first X9s to hit the country
It is of the so
of the first
they come
batch?
over in waves, and this
Yeah.
was the first wave. So yeah, plus or minus a few days, it's the first one on under power in the US.
Okay. Have you, and you haven't run anything yet?
So no, I haven't run anything.
Yeah.
I've done tool changes. I ran in the spindle, which is like a 2.5 hour program that just sends the spindle like up and down and up. It like oscillates through RPMs,
Yeah.
working its way up to max so that you can kind of break in the bearings. So I've done everything to make the machine work. The only thing we're waiting for is the fixture that we're having custom made to hold the knife is the last element that we can then begin to grind.
Okay.
And that might be today. So
Ooh.
they said maybe by the end of this week. So if it is, it's just about a 20-minute drive. And literally, if I just throw a Pearson in there, throw that fixture on, boom, grinding. And
Yeah.
the through spindle coolant pump will remain down until they decide what they want to do about that. But the bolt we discussed previously, where I have to bolt the wheel onto the fixture or to the holder,
Yep.
and it has to have passageways for the coolant.
Yep.
We're still, I've got it designed and we're in the process of making it. So
How are you
I'm,
making it?
so what we're going to do is, so Dalton, my main guy in the
Oh,
shop,
doing it. Yeah.
he used to work for a hydraulic pump shop. That's where I hired him.
Perfect.
And he's a lathe guy. He has his own lathe in his house. Like you can, it's, he lives like 100 yards away from our shop.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And so he's got a bunch of bar stock from his old work, which is material for making shafts for
Okay.
pumps. And so he's going to take one of those and turn it down and make the bolt.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then drill the blind center hole for the pass through. And he's just going to make it with like a big fat head that's like excess. And then we're
Yeah.
going to put it in the mach in a mill and mill the features that we need in the CNC. So it's, we could probably hire it out to have a lathe shop do it, but it's pretty simple part. And he's like, yeah, I could make that. So
Great.
we're just going to do that. So he's maybe this weekend, maybe over the next week, he's going to get that made and we'll mill it.
Awesome.
So kind of hoping like whatever works out with that pump, hopefully they kind of coincide and we get it resolved. But if we had the pump running, we still couldn't run it anyway. So it's not yet a problem for
Yeah.
us.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only quirk. And so I was asking for a lot of pictures and stuff because I could tell one of the things is that this is a third party pump.
Right.
So yes, it had the pump and everything. It had coolant. Like you could see it was all wet. Like the filter
Right.
paper was wet. It had been tested,
Right.
but I noticed the breaker will not pop for like minutes. And so it's like just enough overcurrent that they could have
Like
tested it and they didn't, and
overheating.
it didn't warm up enough to where it would actually pop. And so I
Dude.
think now they're on their end probably doing their own checking because these are, not only is this one of the first waves, but it's also, it may be the only one with through spindle coolant because that's an option.
Right.
So they're, I'm sure, doing some
Yeah,
R&D.
worked on the spec sheet, ran it, didn't do like a torture test. Torture test was 5 minutes of running with coolant. Dude, electrical stuff is terrifying. That's definitely an area where I wish I had like a little more knowledge. I like in the last couple of months, like my surface grinder went down because of that, and I had added a VFD to it. Turns out the VFD was undersized, so it was like working but not quite. I think I had just gotten something wrong, or I went off the wrong plate for the just something like an oversight, right? And then the coolant pump, like I don't know what it basically, it could be run as either like 110 or 220. And I think it was like reverse somehow, so the coolant pump wasn't running. And it's just like you don't know what you don't know. And I don't know what to test if I don't know it. Now that I ran into those two things, like I've got a buddy who owns a electrical motor shop here in town. He came by and he was like, "Oh yeah, dude, like how'd that happen? Okay, let's flip this. Everything works." And you're like, "Ah."
Motors are weird,
And
especially three phase. It's
like
like,
probably on the very simple side. Actually, there's a great update right there, and it's electrical related. Okay, so I've got a 2007 Haas tool room mill. Okay, that time they still used floppy disks. Okay, the fix for that is you buy a floppy to USB converter. It's plug and play, no problem. I've had the same one in there the entire time I've had the machine. Probably sometime in like, I don't know, the last year, the machine, I would go to import a program from my USB and I would get like an error code, like a file not found or like a Haas specific error. But it was intermittent. So I'd maybe try to input it a few times and then it would take. Or I'd power the machine off and power it back on like it was a Nintendo and like it would take. And again, not knowing what I don't know, I'm like, I've heard other people talk about like, yeah, if you get an error code and you reset it, like it just resets all of the memory in the machine, whatever like little bug is there is fixed. I hate that as an answer because it means I don't understand what's actually happening. I go yesterday, I spent 20 minutes trying to load one program. Nothing I do is working. I have a friend back in Albuquerque who what is like a lifetime Haas tech. I call him, he runs me through everything. Nothing works. Finally, I'm just like, all right, I'm pulling the back plate. Maybe something's disconnected. Dude, I don't actually understand how this specific problem would happen, but basically the USB converter is connected to the machine by like the old school, it's like a 34 pin like connector, right? One pin is broken, but making contact.
I
Like,
see.
I actually don't understand how one pin, like, I don't understand how one pin in like the center of this board would be broken. But that was the problem.
So what'd you do to fix it? Is it easily replaceable? Do you have to?
Yeah, I found it's crazy because like at this point the machine is actually getting older and there's support that's stopping in certain ways. There's a company out in Texas that makes a USB converter. And a lot of like they'll make like a lot of the old machines use them, so like that tech doesn't change. Hardest thing I had finding locally was actually just a new 34-pin connector. Like the computer shops don't have them. Because they're like, no, we don't. Nobody uses floppies. They're like, we have one cable that we use when we need to like do something that like,
Diag and stuff,
yeah,
yeah.
somebody like brings in something. But over the last year, like I don't know, I've actually spent like, I don't know, I've probably spent like 10 hours trying to like figure it out and like going on forums and like thinking like this is also tying in with this my switch to Fusion. So I'm like, oh man, it's clearly an issue with Fusion, like new software, old machine, like clearly it's my post processor, like something's happening. Nope, just a broken wire.
Yeah, that'll get you.
So, new part's supposed to be here today. I really hope it fixes it. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. Ugh, it's got to fix it. So, electrical.
I bet it will.
These are the problem. Like you look and you're like, man, it would be sick to have like when you think of bigger companies and you're like in-house machine tech or something, and you're like, this is This is not our area of expertise, but it's getting like now I know something I didn't know. I actually tried to, and this is probably where I lost time that was unnecessary. It was I was like, maybe I can fix it. So my first thing was like, I just want to get back up and running. So I'm like, okay, I'll drill this out. I'm gonna put in a piece of silver. I'm gonna hammer the silver into the shape of the like the
Yep.
pin and just
Right.
see if I can get contact. No, okay. All right, I'm gonna try to solder it. And it's like, well, there's 3 hours of like
Yeah.
ADHD.
Yeah, it becomes a pain in the butt. I know what you mean, where you just get like hyper focused on something like
Dude,
that. Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to when it the way that it broke, like I can solder, I like theoretically can solder. I've never soldered on a circuit board though. And I'm like, as I was doing it, I'm like, I have a new part coming in 2 days. This is a waste of my time because even if I fix it, I'm gonna swap it out for the better part.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
just had to cut it. And that is like, I
So you
think,
got when you go to replace that plug, you're gonna solder it off and on. Like you have to
No,
s
there's no soldering. Like it's plug and play.
Oh,
Like the
cool.
new part, the one thing that I did have to figure out, and this was frustrating, was the pin broke off in the connector. Okay. And I could not extract the pin, and I didn't know how like these connectors work. So I like, I look at it, I find like the tabs where you can like disassemble this thing. I go to like gingerly like lift a tab, and of course it breaks because it's old. So then I can't find a new connector. So basically what I had to do, I found one shop that had like three or four of these things. He just gave me because he's like, oh, it was like in the parts bin. I had to combine them into a new 34-pin connector that still uses the specific face for the. It's like sometimes I love this stuff. I don't love it when it stacks, right? When you're behind on a pro, like I was already like, I was doing a project basically where I was a little bit behind on it, and I'm like, sweet, back on track. Absolutely, just flip the switch. No, you're not. Lose 3 days. It's like Monopoly.
Machines down is a sad moment in
Oh,
a lot of cases.
it's dude. It's never. I don't think it's ever happened to me. I think
That's
maybe
awesome.
one time. But yeah, one time I've had the machine down one time. So I've been super fortunate. But I don't know. That's my experience. That's my shop update.
CNC
Okay.
machine pros and woes
Yeah, and
sometimes.
I hear the funny part is like, I'm proud of myself for like not just rage buying a new Haas. Because I got so frustrated where I was like, I don't even care. Like I was on the website, I'm like, there's year-end sales. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, so
Scrap it.
scrap it. Save
No.
myself a little money. Okay. What next, man? Where are we going?
That's a good shop update for us.
Yeah.
In the middle of holiday stuff, so we're just making as many knives as we can. That's going pretty well. But yeah, we
Are
were
you
talking
making
about
straight for sales? Sorry to interrupt, but I was curious about that.
well, basically trying to keep up with custom orders at the
Okay.
same time as still doing just some small drops because fortunately custom orders have been pretty good, and so we're just
Okay.
trying to keep up with those as best we can. And part of it is if I can get grinding, it's going to bail us out pretty quick. Because we did make some extra knives that don't have bevels because I wanted them to be ready.
Oh,
And
cool.
so we've kind of, there's like this batch of knives that we're not going to be able to fulfill orders with or sell until we're grinding because they've already been heat treated without bevels. And so it's like I'm kind of really chomping at the bit to get grinding so that we
Right.
don't just let those sit all the way through the holidays. That'd be kind of rough.
Yep.
So I'm hoping Monday or Tuesday, we can, do it. So a
Nice.
little bit stressful in that regard. Like nothing we can do about it, just waiting for a fixture, but need to grind like as
Nice.
soon as possible.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. I wasn't sure if you had like any shows or getting ready, but that makes sense. Oh, I got one more small shop update that's just kind of tangential. So we've been doing the social media push, right? And basically just experimenting, trying different formats, trying different like posting schedules. I've got help for editing, and last week we posted a video on this chopstick maker. Just kind of, we've been doing these videos where it's like, hey, what's this? And then I give it a breakdown. The video crushed it. Like within like 2 days, it had hit 1 million views on Instagram.
That was cool.
It's close to 2 million views on Instagram, has hit past 1 million on YouTube, like crushing. The company who made that tool, Bridge City Toolworks, which is a like a subsidiary of Harvey Tool. Harvey Tool reached out and was like, hey, that was a great video. Can we work with you a little bit? Can we send you some product and like do a discount code? It's just fun because
Yeah.
it's all experimental. I'm not trying to like, make money off of this, but this is the first time a company has reached out and been like, hey, there's value in that thing
Yeah,
you did.
notice your influence. Yeah.
Notice the influencerness of it, which is
Yeah.
super funny. But I'm psyched because now I get to try their pencil maker, which is
Oh, that's cool.
ridiculous.
So,
Like,
can do you put like the graphite in it and everything, or
yes,
oh my gosh,
all of it's
that's
so the
cool.
Chopstick Master is cool because like I could bring it. Your house is a bad example because like one, your wife's super capable, you're super capable, but like you can take it over to like a family holiday party, put it on a table. Have someone who has never really worked with their hands doing woodworking tasks and then have a tangible, usable product in like 10 minutes. And I thought it was so
That's
cool,
awesome.
right? It's you feel the power of craftsmanship. You're like, I took this raw material and I now have this like thing that is useful and attractive. Okay, the pencil maker is like that to an nth degree
I was gonna say,
because
yeah.
it's obscenely, it's like pretty expensive. It's like, I think it's $700 and you are making a wooden pencil.
I'm
But,
excited to see that. That
dude,
sounds really, actually, really interesting.
yeah, when I come for shop visit, I will be bringing both.
So you take the piece of wood, you turn it
Yep.
into a hexagon or octagon or whatever it is, and then you drill.
I
Is
think you
it?
actually like split. It's like split. You like take two
Oh, you stick it
halves,
together.
and then it's got like forming dies, so you can pick the shape of pencil you want.
Oh, wow.
So you can do like the triangular or the, I forget what they're called, but it almost looks like a gear. They're like, it's like
Oh,
an older pencil style,
yeah.
and then you put a
Corduroy
ferrule on
pencil.
it. It's so, the thing that I loved about Bridge City was like, I have a book that they released that someone gave me like 10 years ago. All of their tools are beautiful. So like they make like standard woodworking tools like hand planes and squares, but they're all like beautifully anodized, like really well thought out.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious. I don't know, like be curious to know like what the market is. 'Cause it's almost like you look at this and you're like, it's almost like buying a knife or something where
Yeah.
it's just cool, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. That's like a little win, kind of a,
Yeah.
at least something is working and like, 'cause sometimes you do these projects and it's like the chop wood carry water analogy. You're like, I don't know. I'm just gonna keep doing it. Like I just
Yeah.
need to keep doing the work, but the work's not doing anything. This is the first of the kind of social media push where I was like, oh, like that actually had an effect.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was super intrigued by it as well. I saw Jens popped in there too.
Dude, love
Yeah.
it.
It's
Okay.
just
Where are we going now?
so one thing we were talking about before the podcast is pace of growth for a business. Because I think it's probably on both of our minds. It's on everyone's mind that runs a business in reality. Because if you run a business, it's like the metaphor, of driving. How much throttle are you willing to use, when and for how long? And I've discussed for honestly for like the last 2 years, I keep saying that eventually I want to like let off the throttle a little bit and continue to grow, but not at just the current throttle, which is just as fast as possible. But I keep not doing it, which is interesting. And it's almost like I think, I'll get the X7 and then I'll kind of settle for a little bit. But I get the X7, goes so well, and things have worked that it's like, okay, I'll just, stay on the throttle. And then it's like, okay, a big shop. I was kind of in the mode of like, okay, finally, I'm gonna like kind of not coast. I don't want to, that sounds, has a negative connotation, but like, I want to take it a little easier and be a little more calculated and careful. And then the shop presents itself, and it's like, okay, game's changed. There's 3,000 square feet instead of 300. That's a not a lot more room to run. Then it's like, well, now that we have the space, we better be cup wheel grinding. And so now we're finally getting the cup wheel grinding up. And it's like another one of those points where it's like, do I kind of take the win and like just slow down a little bit, keep the machines we have, keep the staff we have, and just, build like a little castle of like stability and slow growth, or just stay on the pedal. You know what I mean? So I've been thinking a lot about that because it's working, but it's like, you don't, I've said multiple times, it's like, you don't want to build a tower. You want to build a pyramid. You know what I mean? So it's like slowing down has some benefits as far as, for example, like our shop, there's a bunch of little things that don't impede growth, but they're annoying. And it's like, if I'm focused on growth, there's a lot of like a little annoying, just efficiency things that could be fixed and just quality of life stuff that if you're only thinking about growth, you wouldn't worry about that. But if you're thinking about a wider, stronger base and just quality of life, you would slow down and start dealing with stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I think in general, one, I don't think that you are, I don't think you're pushing the growth. I like externally, what I see is that you are in a growth phase, but it's like completely organic, right? I mean, you 10x your space, right? You As your efficiency goes up, you are adding pieces that are allowing you to maintain the efficiency. You're not like, I'm going to double all my machines so I can double our output, right? You're just adding like the next like link in the chain is the way that I see it. I think that probably at some point you will feel a natural slowdown where you're like, okay, that cycle is done. And I think that that is the tricky part for a lot of us. 'Cause one, can you exist in that space comfortably? Right. Or are you, 'cause the, and I say that specifically for myself, where it's like sometimes the discomfort is actually just in things working, which is crazy. I also think that because you have an eye on the smaller stuff, at least from the feeling it being out of sync, I think that for you, it will affect like larger decisions again organically. Because I don't think you can exist if you're like not happy with a bunch of the little things. They're not little, they need time to be dealt with, and that 100% makes the business more efficient in the long run because you're not creating these pockets of problems. That's my thought. I mean, you where this conversation came up is like you and I kind of watch the whole industry, and it's hard to explain sometimes. It's not comparative, but like we watch and we learn. It's almost like modeling. So you see what other businesses are doing, you see what makers are doing, you see changes. And so growth is like one of those things where you can see when it's happening. And sometimes you can see when it feels forced or when it like is maybe it's hard. I think it's harder to see when there isn't enough growth, right? So I don't know. Externally, like looking at your growth process, you're so even keeled. I don't know that like you could throw gas on the fire. Like I don't think it's in your nature, right?
Interesting. Yeah, no, I appreciate that perspective on that, especially because we talk almost every week. So yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Does that feel right though? Like in your case, are you like, oh yeah, like the X9 was a logical next step, not like a reach?
In the grand scheme of things, like I feel like we're operating pretty conservatively. I think I have a natural tendency towards being conservative, and I think in like early in my career, I think I was way too conservative. And so I think maybe what I'm doing now feels more aggressive than it really is. You know what I mean?
That's a great place to be though. I always said like when I rode motorcycles, I'm like, I like slow motorcycles that make me feel fast.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's a great place to be, right? Because if
Yeah.
you are getting that, like, you're getting that response of like, oh man, this is like, I'm like risking it a little bit, but you're
Yeah,
also
yeah.
like pretty like solid baseline. Like,
Yeah,
that's
right.
great.
Yeah. So I mean, I think what's getting to me, and maybe the main thing, is like if when I have my to-do list, you know, you have to pick what you're going to do. And like admittedly, there's like 10 or 15 things that have been on my to-do list since we moved in the shop that
Yeah.
have not gotten done that I think will continue to not get done if growth is the primary objective. And
Yeah.
it's weird little things like when we built the walls in this shop, the front door now swings the wrong way because of the new floor plan.
Yeah.
And I already bought the door to go in there. And it's like I started to replace it, and the header beam above the door had a water leak. And it is rotted out, so it needs a new like header beam above the door, and it needs a new door so that it swings the right way. But in my mind, over the last 6 or 8 months, it's like a handful of things like that. It's like, yeah, but does that matter as far as growing? You know what I mean? And so it's like if I have X amount of time and X plus one amount of things to do, that door is the plus one. It ends up not, and that's just a
Right.
microcosm, but it's stuff like that where it's like I could see how this shop could be more refined, and I'm
Right.
not refining a whole lot. I'm mainly growing. You know what I mean? And I'd like to do more refinement.
So I think that's, I mean, that's like a good explanation or something that could explain that is like the concept of working in the business versus working on the business.
Yeah.
Like those are working on the business things, like you're improving the space.
Yeah.
Right, you're making it more enjoyable, and like at the end of the day, we love what we do. We love our spaces. We love, like, people always comment how clean my shop is. I'm like, yeah, but I have to live in here. Like, I'm in my shop all the time.
Yeah.
My house is not like crazy chaotic. Like, I don't want my shop that way either, you know? For me, I think that over the course, like working lifetime, I think that if you take the time to improve your space and beautify or make it, if the aesthetics are important, you take that time. I think it really, one, makes your work more enjoyable, but two, extends the ability. Like, we talk about, Jens, you know, pretty frequently on the pod. He's a great example of that. 'Cause like you look in his shop, home and now like the larger shop, aesthetically they're beautiful
Yeah.
and they're functional. It's easier to work. It's like you want good lighting and nice tables and you know clean floors and all
Yeah.
that stuff plays. So
Yeah.
yeah, I
Yeah,
think you
no,
get
I've
to do that.
yeah, I think maybe that's a good goal for me for 2025 is start to carve out more time for refinement.
Yep.
Not only aesthetic, but like another example, this is a really good example, is we have a shelf where all of our Kanban inventory is, and it's where everything that you would go to get from once you've reduced your inventory, like screws or Kydex or whatever. And so it's kind of just a bunch of stuff on a shelf, and we have like a little bit of like tribal understanding of when stuff comes in, I stack the Kydex on this end of the shelf. You know, the screws are in these little drawers, but it's not well labeled, and it's a little bit ripe for like mistakes. And there's it very it doesn't happen very often, but it's
If
not
it's not
perfect.
you or Dalton, it's ripe for
Yeah,
mistakes.
exactly,
Like,
exactly.
yeah.
And I just every time I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, I should definitely spend some time, buy some like organizing devices, and get this all nice and perfect. But like I said, always something is in the way, because it's like, well, what's more important, that or bevel grinding? What's more
Right.
important, that or the LT5 scales? It's like,
Yeah.
well, obviously, you know what I mean? So it's the only way that I can allow a little bit more time for that is letting off a little bit on like the front leading edge of growth, which is
Yeah.
these new project developments of manufacturing and stuff. And so that's kind of where my head's at, is like getting a little more time in the schedule for backtracking and improving like downstream.
It really is tricky. I mean, like we're there right now with, dude, I'm like, I've said it so many times, like I know that I am doing too much, right? And at this point in my life, like I really do feel it. I haven't figured out the solutions. And it's been interesting, like adding in the Kihoku, because now I have this thing where one, it's like more efficient than a lot of what I was doing, but not nearly as efficient as it could be. And I'm in that same thing where I'm like, I know what I need to do next, but I'm also, all right, I'm just going to run these now because I also have this, and this to do. I've kind of adopted your Monday strategy of like, I take Monday morning, I start to do like all of my kind of logistic work, ordering, financial stuff. Dude, it's not enough. Like, there's too many moving pieces. And so it bleeds over. And it's like, at a point, yeah, it's like where, I mean, I realize like for myself, like there's a point where I do probably have to make some decisions about certain parts of like the choose your own adventure, just from like a time. Like, you can only add so many pieces, right? So, I mean, yeah, yours, it's like, your production flow is fairly consistent and dialed. The way that you are interacting with projects is fairly dialed. It almost just feels like you need a maintenance schedule where all of that stuff happens on your maintenance schedule, whatever that looks like, you know?
And one thing I'm thinking about is where, like, you always have to ask yourself once you start hiring. Your hiring's about delegation. Everybody knows that. Growing's always delegation is the core pillar of growth. And but that brings up the question, what do you delegate? Like, what am I most valuable doing as far as my time goes? Because that plays into who you're delegating what to. Because it's
What the
like,
next hire is.
And I've been thinking a lot about that. I think, and this kind of comes into that growth conversation, is like, I probably should hire someone pretty dang soon that runs like shipping emails, customer service emails. Basically, we have this clean room where everything's organized, everything's shipped, packaged. This, someone that would know how to like do an internet national shipping job, like this, or this guy emailed and said, "Hey, my tracking's stuck. It's in customs. Like, what do I do?" Stuff like that. Having someone just on board, just taking care of that, and they could knock out and probably like order the kanbans and things like that and make sure that's all organized. And I think that would allow me to more time. I think that's part of where I'm getting to is I'm ready to delegate again. I think that's why I feel this way, but that's where my head kept going to, okay, you just got the X9, you just got it grinding. Do you immediately want to follow that up with a hire, which is just another bite moving forward in growth, or
Right. Is it
kind
lateral? Dude, I love that. I don't know if this is PC or not. I guess I don't care, but you basically need a shop mom.
Yeah,
Like,
yes,
that's what
yeah.
you act right
Yeah.
now. Like, the next one is like someone who is like dialed, can type well, has attention to detail, can like sign a nice card, can like understands how to respond to like to a problem. It maybe brings in like donuts sometimes or something,
Yeah.
you know, or
Yeah.
you get to do that. But like that, I think there's a balancing force, right? Shipping is a weird one too. Like, as shipping tied with customer service is an even weirder,
Yeah, it is.
is an even weird. We can do it, right? Because you have like, it's like the founder principle, because you do all the jobs out of necessity, but you can't just throw anyone into that.
Yeah.
It's like they have to be able to maintain your tone. They have to be able to keep provide some like separation,
Yeah,
but
run
like
interference.
run
Yeah.
interference. And I think I've thought about this a lot too, because I look and I'm like, I'm like without fail the inefficient system like in my business, but I'm also the one who can do every single job. It just
Yeah,
can't
I
do it the
feel the same way.
best, right? But I'm also the one who can develop the new things. And that is like I'm thinking about ergonomics of workstations. I'm thinking about what a finish process is. Those are really hard. And sometimes I think I'm like, if I hire, it's like, who allows me to really focus on that? And then also have like a blast of productivity and design a new model and build a fixture. Okay, now I'm back to like hanging a door. I think that that is probably a universal for certain types of businesses where it's like, what do you really enjoy?
Yeah.
Right?
And
Like,
I think that really does encapsulate not, I don't know if it's like a struggle I'm having or like a try, I don't know, an attempt to align my vision, but is that I need to hire someone to take this stuff over. Anyone that looks at what I'm doing is going to say that. It's super stupid obvious, but it starts to feel a little bit like, you know, like you're pulling the ribbon out of the hat. You know, it just like keeps going because it's like, oh, I got the X9. Okay, now I need, it feels like
100%.
infinite, you know what I mean? And it's like, where do you draw the line of like, okay, wait, we're okay, breathe, like we don't have to keep like just next thing, and that higher feels like another pull, but it's like anybody would look at what I'm doing, it's like you need to do that,
And
you know what I mean?
it would be for a short time period. So it's okay. So the coach that I work with, one thing he's really helped me with for this year, that's it's crazy because I haven't slowed down, but I've increased my capacity. And when I look at like kind of what I accomplished this year, I don't think I would have been able to do it and then been in such a positive state of mind had I not been using the tools that like we've been working on, right? Two of those are the pre-coping and active recovery. So it's almost like if you could like look at that from a business standpoint instead of like a personal or like mental health standpoint, it's kind of like what pre-work could you do that would allow you to bring in someone and spend time with them, getting them up to speed where you don't feel like you need to be in two places at once, right? Okay, so maybe that's like, okay, we're going to make X amount of extra product, four drops, and the month that we bring on a new hire, we're actually doing two drops for that month. Okay, and then afterwards, it's like once they're like up to speed, where can you do active recovery to feel like not just like I step into the shop and now I'm back to my normal job. It's like I now have this resource. I can use it to do this thing. And that I think creates a system where it's like more manageable for us. It doesn't feel as fast.
And one thing that just jumped into my head that maybe I should be doing is I should put a notebook on my desk, and every time I do something where I'm like, oh, if I had that person here, they would have done this, and just start over like the next couple of weeks, like seeing how long that list is, and I have a feeling looking at that list, it might clear my head a little bit, because part of it is like, what would I even have them do? Like, I need them to do stuff, but I don't know what. And it's almost like pre-generating a job listing too. It's like, this is what you'd be
I love,
doing.
well, it's also it's like a journaling exercise, which is just it's you're listing task, you're listing items, and you can look at that. And it's like one, you look at it and go, I had to do all those things. And you're like, these things could be done by someone else. But it's also make like it's you can assign times to them, even if it's just ballpark, right? Like that, I have a really hard time shipping. I did it for years. I don't like it. I actually don't like it. And so that is one where I'm like, that was the first when my first hire was someone to help me in the office. It was a shop mom. And she was great because I needed to not talk to people via email. And I needed to be able to put a knife and a name on the table and have it go to the right person.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, I like
I
that.
like that.
Do you carry a notebook?
I have a notebook on my desk right in
You
front of
don't
me that
carry like the three by
I need to start
three.
doing that. I don't
Try it.
actually carry one,
Try it.
no.
I think I've talked about this the system that I use
Okay,
before.
let's hear about it.
Carry two notebooks, okay, inside of one little binder. The left notebook is journal that is archived. Okay. So that is any thought that I want access to later. That is gratitude journaling. It's bigger thoughts. It's philosophical kind of things that I'm struggling with. The other side is lists, grocery lists,
Disposable.
numbers, disposable. I don't like to intermingle. And I've used this system now
That's
for
genius.
a decade and I
So
love
where's
it.
that little notebook cover you got there? Is that some kind of custom deal or where'd you get that?
This is one of ours. This was Scout leather,
Oh, cool. I
which
have to reach
we're
out.
actually trying to bring back. But yeah, if you need one, we can, and it holds a pen.
Oh yeah. That's sweet.
I've tried to move digital because I realize this has like a huge flaw, which is I can lose it. I've lost exactly one in the last decade. It takes me probably a month to 2 months to burn through a set of notebooks. So it's not a huge block of time. If you do lose one, it's like you have a small gap. But man, I can't replace it. Like I love it too much. And at this point, like I even take it and do some data entry and I'll put notes into like Trello or something else.
Yeah, I should.
But just for that, like zip. And it is, I'm standing in front of the machine. It's like I pull it out of my pocket, write it down, put it back in. Could I do it on my phone? I can't because my brain's gonna be like, dude, look at Instagram or check your email or look at a
I was just
photo
gonna
of
say,
the kids or whatever.
Trello is what I use in the shop. I have this, I have similar system in that Trello is the more like serious, big picture, large items, whereas the notebook on my bench is literally just, hey, dude, order green canvas my card. I don't forget. And that way I always just, oh, yeah. But then the problem is when I leave the shop, all my important stuff is in Trello. And I feel I don't like pulling out my phone and doing a bunch of work phone stuff when I'm with family. I try not, I mean, I do for sure, but
Yeah, we all do.
yeah, but it, same as you, I feel this resistance to like going on Trello on my phone on like a Saturday. You know what I mean? So maybe a notebook, it's like a little less invasive.
There, it's a it stops.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. There's
There's,
no
it's not
rabbit
a
hole of
loop. It's one way.
research. Yeah, it's one way you put it in. The other thing I like is I had this realization where it's like it sounds silly, but I'm like, oh, I carry a little wallet and a big notebook. And to me, that feels
Like a
like
metaphor.
it feels like a metaphor, but
Yeah.
also it feels like the right alignment for me. Like if I'm gonna carry something, it's something that I want to be able to like use for as a tool for growth, not just for like my wallet. I can spend out of my wallet.
Yeah.
I can put like real ideas into my notebook.
Yeah. The notebook makes you money, the wallet spends the money.
Spends the money.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. It's hot. I like that.
Yeah.
So this is a little
Yeah,
bit of a
it's a fact.
digression.
No, it's important though. I mean, it's in business, I mean, in life, not just in business. This is kind of one of the things is delegation, time management, mental management, sort of sharpening your perspective and vision in a way that's got good direction and consistency and stuff. I mean, it takes hacks, it takes tools, it takes things, you know, because in some ways, I don't know if we were made for this kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's a little bit unnatural. And it's like to have a vision over 40 years. I don't know if humans were ever supposed to do that. You know what I mean?
Other than
So
survival,
yeah, which
like,
is
and procreation.
yeah. So it's kind of like you kind of have to hack it a little bit. You gotta amend the human nature a little bit. Not to
Well,
get too
and
far off in the weeds, but
no, that's, I don't think that's the beauty. Like, dude, that's why I love these conversations. It's not far off in the weeds. It's like, what is the goal? Like, what do you want work to provide? What do you want a business to provide? And like, I'm like, yes, I want it to provide for my family, but I also want satisfaction out of it. Like, I want a lot out of it. I want unreasonable things. And I know that, right? I'm willing to put in unreasonable amounts of work to get those things, but I don't want that to be my entire life because that means that I don't feel that I'm being successful. And I think that with some of this stuff, like you can't know the outcome until you like get there. So it's like you get to the point and you're like, okay, I spent all this time working to get to this point. And you look and you're like, is this where I want to be? Is this where I'm supposed to end up? And it could be yes. It could be like, yep. And now I take this fork. Or it could be, that was maybe the wrong alignment. I'm gonna take a pivot and change it. And I think that's one of my fears of scaling, where it's like, I don't want to get to where I'm like, I only have one option. That's a personal response to the obligation of defining certain types of goals and paths. But like, dude, that can all be built into a business. Like,
Yeah.
flexibility can be built into a business. Even in, it's not an all or nothing, like zero sum game. I think a
Yeah.
lot of times it's like flex. Like,
Yeah.
I look at the forging stuff right now, and like this year, I've really had to look at like where I've spent money, where the business is performing, where we're down. And I'm like, there's $25,000 worth of forging equipment that I've used for probably 4 hours. I could very easily say, I'm going to sell that and buy another CNC,
Yeah.
but I don't want to. Like,
There's people at Blade Show that if you said that to, they'd
I don't stab me in the
chase you
eye.
out of town. Yeah.
I know. I
Yeah.
know. But that's kind of the point, is like, when I did it, it wasn't, those decisions weren't based on the bottom line of the business. I think that it gives me a longer time horizon, because if we want to do the 40 years, dude, you got to stay connected. Right? Don't you like think
Yep,
that? Like,
for
couldn't you
sure.
get into a point where you just like, you work yourself out of the interest of what you do? And
Yeah.
we both 100% know people who have done that.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
And
they have made knives in a way that they no longer like knives.
well, I've done that before, but not with knives. Back when I would do pencil art, I would draw what I liked, which is like mainly cars. So I draw an awesome 1969 Ford Mustang and sweet this, that. And it was always cars. And then I opened up my books one summer, it was between two college years. And I said, I'm taking any request you want for any drawing you want. Like, as long as it's, I could say no if it's really weird. But, and so I just had like 10 people, no money down or anything. But they're like, yeah, I want this. I want a picture of me and my daughter with our horse. And like, literally the first drawing that I started to draw, I was like, I hate this. Instantly, I was
It
like,
changed it.
this sucks. I drawing
The
something
stakes are
that,
too high.
yeah.
And, well, and it's not your control, because you don't know what he's looking for the image of him and his daughter.
Yeah.
That it's not interesting to you. It's not,
Yeah.
there's so much there.
Yeah.
We got to work with our skill sets that we have and be
Yeah.
okay with some of the ones that we don't, I think, which is hard. Like, it's hard to not be good at things. Do you struggle from that? Like, if you look and you're like, oh, or are you
Yeah.
just okay with it?
No, for sure.
Yeah.
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 I know exactly what you mean. It's like, for me, a lot of it is like general organizational management. It's
Yeah.
like I can set up the systems, but I'm not the best at executing sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I not better at that? Like, I designed the system. Why am I not the best at the system? You know what I mean? It's like,
These are the questions where, like, when I think about growth that is exciting, those are the problems that get solved. Where it's like, how can I be more of me? How can growth provide me more time to excel and provide value in the areas that I actually provide value in and find enjoyment? Like, that is the most exciting concept. It's like, growth that makes me busier, not the goal, you know?
No, I agree. Like, for me, I figure once I get that fixture next week, I'm gonna have a full day of getting the grinding started. I'm so excited. That
Right.
sounds like the best day ever. Drinking a
Yeah.
cup of coffee in front of a new machine with a new process that took months to get to this point where we're actually going to make a part and we have to do the final work out the bugs and like make it work and make it work well. That is my favorite thing to do. Like, I couldn't think of a better day.
Write it down in the list, dude. Because when you get to the end of it, if that's the thing that like really fills the cup, then you know, like, yeah, you can't do that all the time, but you can absolutely do something that does that on a monthly or quarterly basis. And that's enough. Like, it's cold now. I'm gonna fire up the forge soon. I'm gonna forge some really bad tapers, and I'm gonna feel like I'm making things. Here's a kind of a related story, actually, and I sent you pictures of this. A couple days ago, a buddy of mine was like, "Hey, dude, do you want to you want to build a fireplace with me? And he had built, I showed him a product. This is like an interesting thing about making it. I showed him a product that he could buy for like $250. He went on Instructables and found like a really basic version that he could build. This is super good friend, but he's not like a maker, right? But we'll see at the end of this. It's basically a gas stove, like a fireplace built inside of an ammo can. It's super cool. So he built one. We went over to the house, showed me. It was awesome. And he was like, "Hey, I want to build one of these for a friend. Can we do it in your shop? And can we build two?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." I start doing all this research, blah, blah, blah. He shows up. He's got like some grocery bags full of copper fittings. Dude, we use none of my tools because he brought like a hole saw and like, a tubing cutter and all this stuff. I'm starting to like lay out and like do all this stuff. He's not. Right. Like he's just like eyeballing stuff. And what I decided, I was like, I'm going to do it his way. I had so much fun just like reconnecting with like free form,
A little bit sculptural design.
little bit sculptural, little bit. I didn't take dimensions. I still like, I used a square a couple times and like I used an automatic center punch and like some basics. But the end product, I looked at it and I'm like, this is something that I would be proud to gift to anyone I know.
That's cool.
And it was just, it's that memory of like, oh yeah, this is what I like. I like just making something that I can look at and be proud of.
Yeah, I dig it.
It's fun.
That's what it's all about.
So that's all about, which is the changing and always changes too. Dude, I don't know. I'm feeling like I was like pretty good.
Was a great culmination there.
I
The
think so. We have more
last
on the
sentence of a
list,
good
but
book.
I feel pretty solid there. Should we wrap it?
I think so, man.
Okay.
Hope you guys had fun. I had fun. It was a good morning.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. We're theoretically scheduled for next week, so hopefully we'll be hitting
Try to keep
our
them rolling.
stride. Yeah. Thank you guys. And yeah, drop us a question, leave us comments in Patreon or Instagram. Let us know if there's anything you want us to chop up.
Yeah,
We'll see you guys
appreciate you
around.
guys. Have a good one.